Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast. We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm your host, Tyler Frankie. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll be talking with...
Sorry to interrupt, but Frankie won't be joining us tonight. I'm your producer, Tyler Clausen, and I'll be your host for a very special edition of the Can Be Now podcast. What you're about to hear are the true stories of local residents who have first-person experiences with the unexplained and paranormal. Read for you by members of the Can Be High School Drama Club. These stories are real. We have not added to them, and we have only edited them where absolutely necessary. Whether you believe them or not is up to you.
There are a lot of stories about Baker Prairie Cemetery. I live next door, and I can tell you that they're all true. I have heard the children playing there. They are very active around 1 in the morning. I have heard giggling, laughing, and even a little baby crying. I've also heard singing, although I can't make out the song. My dog often tries to go to the back of the house and alerts me to the sounds whenever we walk by. One night, we decided to take a video camera to the cemetery and try and catch something on film. I had done some research and read that the spirits carry a lot of energy. When we die, energy is matter, and matter cannot be destroyed. The article said to charge your camera up fully, as the battery would get sucked out right away if there was any legitimate activity. My brother-in-law, who was very skeptical, charged up over 60 hours worth of battery on the camera. My two sisters, my daughter, and I headed down to the cemetery at dusk. As we walked around, asking if there was anyone who wanted to talk to us and explain why they were so angry, my daughter yelled out, "Look! There are kids playing in the tree right there." We all turned to look, and I saw what appeared to be a man in a buckskin suit with a rifle, leaning up against a tree, smiling at us. Without a word, I started running towards the house. My sisters were yelling, "Why are you running?" But they followed me nonetheless. We only had been filming for 5 or 10 minutes, but when we got back to the house, the battery was completely dead. My brother-in-law said that couldn't be possible, but it was. He called me several days later and said that when he played the film, he couldn't see anything, but he could hear a woman crying. He destroyed the recording.
When I was 10, my stepmom passed away. I was very close to her, so I took this death very hard, especially with me being so young. Shortly after her passing, I would talk to her out of grief. My dad would do the same. After a while, things got weird. At first, it was just small, freaky stuff, like my dad and I would be watching TV and suddenly the bedroom light would turn on. Or he would be looking everywhere for his pills and they would appear right in front of him hours later. Over time, things got more and more abnormal. I was home alone one day, and as I walked back from my room, I noticed my dad's slippers were moving on their own, almost as if someone was walking in them. I ran from the house that day. One Sunday morning, I was sitting at my desk on my computer when I suddenly felt like someone was watching me. I turned around and I saw her. It was very obvious that it was a ghost. It's hard to explain to people that have never seen a ghost, so I will do my best here. It was almost like an outline of where a person should have been standing, as if it was traced in marker. Her body was not there, but yet I could see her black hair and slim figure, almost like a light-colored shadow. I said hi, and she made her way down the hall. After that encounter, things started to get very scary. I felt things touch me while I was lying in bed. At this point, I was about 13 to 14 years old, so about 4 years after she passed. I would be in bed trying to sleep, and my bed frame would start shaking back and forth. I would try to scream, but nothing would come out. I just buried my head in my pillow, trying to make it stop. But it got even worse. Sometimes when the shaking happened, I would feel something pulling on my ankle. It felt like it was trying to drag me out of bed. When my stepmom was alive, she would tell stories about how she would hear things slamming around when she was home alone, and how sometimes she would be in her room and suddenly the door would slam and lock. She would try to open the door, but it wouldn't let her out. But she was a heavy drinker, so most of the time I ignored these crazy stories. It was around this time that I started researching paranormal activity. I also read a lot about using Jesus to drive out negative spirits. I started going to church as a way to get some answers, and soon after started implementing things I learned in my day-to-day life. I remember about a year after I started going to church, I felt my bed shaking once more. I started singing a worship song out loud and reading the Bible. Now, 10 years later, I do not consider myself a religious person. However, I will admit that the only thing that made these things stop happening was when I sang those songs and repeatedly said Jesus' name. It was weird, because we didn't live in an old or creepy house or anything. It was your pretty standard home just off Ivy Street. Those spirits, or whatever they were, I know they weren't my stepmom. But I do believe that my dad and I talking to her, inviting her in, may have opened the door to other things. I don't know what. I honestly have not done any further research on this because I don't want to open that door again.
Before my wife and I got together, she lived in this apartment in town. Her oldest son's father still lives there. She always said the place was haunted. She'd had lots of weird experiences there. She was glad when she moved out. One time we had to go there to drop our son off so he could see his dad. He wasn't ready for him, so we all were just sitting in the living room waiting. I think we were watching Netflix or something. One thing you should know is that I naturally have bad blood circulation, so it's normal for my arm to go a little cold if the blood gets momentarily cut off. That night, I had my arm draped over the couch, and it started to get cold. Like, really cold. Actually, it was freezing, like I dipped it in snow. I didn't really think anything of it until my wife took a picture of us on the couch. You see, behind us, there was this strand of Christmas lights all turned off. In fact, they weren't even plugged in, but when she took that photo, two of the lights behind us were glowing. Another time, I was at home. We live on this farm outside of Canby that's owned by my in-laws. Spirits linger there. One night, it must have been around 10 o'clock, I was walking the garbage down the street. I don't usually mind this chore. It's beautiful on a clear night. When the moon is out and bright, it makes everything shine silver. That's when I noticed something by the barn door that was glowing a little more brightly than it should have been. It looked like a young lady in a Victorian-era gown. I followed it into the barn, but there was nothing there. Later, I asked my in-laws about it. They said one of the earlier owners had lost a daughter when she was young many, many years ago. The farm itself is over 100 years old.
I used to do work as a paranormal investigator, but I only ever did one investigation in Canby. I guess you could say one was enough. We were asked to investigate this apartment that was in an old house in town. The family who lived there had been experiencing a lot of strange activity, particularly in the room of their 2.5-year-old daughter. She would wake up at night screaming, "Don't let the man get me!" over and over. The dad, Justin, had called us, knowing we had been part of an investigation group the previous year. When we got there, the house seemed a bit off, but I didn't think too much of it. We went into the girls' room, me, Justin, and my best friend's son, Tyler. Justin had the idea of using a flashlight to attempt conversation with the entity. He asked if it would communicate by turning on the light. Nothing happened. After a minute, I said, "Look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or get you to do parlor tricks, but I need some validation from you here." Immediately, the flashlight came on. At that point, I left the room to breathe. I am, at times, quite sensitive to negative energy. I was sitting outside when, all of a sudden, I hear those two screaming at the door. They were doing EVP work. And the first rule in EVP is to be careful what you ask for. Tyler said, "If you're really here, can you touch my arm or something?" Then, something slapped him on the leg. You can hear the slap very clearly on the recording. We attempted a smudging. This is a Native American tradition where you burn dried white sage while walking all through the home. You fan the smoke into all corners of the house using a feather of an eagle or a hawk. Sage neutralizes negative energy, but in this case, it only seemed to infuriate it. Eventually, the family just moved out. To this day, I don't know what we encountered that night, but there definitely was something there. As far as I know, it's still there.
I've had a case where I actually felt like a ghost was involved. I was in my house, and it was morning, and I remember I was in my room, drying off, and I heard this, like, patter, like very rhythmic, and I was thinking it was my dog. It was a little puppy, a little pug, and I was waiting for him to pop up on the top of the stairs, but after 20 seconds, it was still going, and nothing came up. So it was really weird. And at the time, I was, like, really into ghost stuff. I was watching, like, Ghost Adventures. And I walked over there, and, you know, being the paranormal investigator I am, I was like, is anyone there? You know, tell me your name. And the door next to me is closed. Or if it's not, it's very close to being closed. And I wait a second, and then all of a sudden, it just slams right next to me. And it scared the crap out of me. And I was like, that's impossible. No gust of wind could have blown through the door, even if it wasn't closed, because I even tried. I did some experiments because I thought I was so classy and professional. I'm trying to make the same sound, didn't work. I checked all the windows, nothing there. So that was like my only experience. That was like something that I couldn't really solve with science. And it's kind of cool because on top of the stairs is one of the spots we call like one of the haunted spots. We have another one downstairs that our dogs like to look at. It's like they're seeing something, but they're just paranoid. But yeah, that was the one experience. I was like, I gotta feel that.
My sister lived in a 100-year-old house on Meridian Road. This house was a well-built, two-story home, but you could see just by looking at it that it was very, very old. My sister and her family loved to go to the beach, and whenever they were gone, my kids and I would go to her house and check on things. There had been a lot of odd happenings at this house. Once, my sister had been painting in a spare bedroom and called me and our other sister to come over right away. When we got there, she was sitting in a chair staring at the floor where two very obvious footprints were literally burned into the carpeting. There was also a tree in the backyard, where once in a while, if you turned the corner too quickly, you would see the figure of a woman hanging by her neck. If you blinked or glanced away, it would disappear. My last experience there happened late one afternoon when they were out of town, and my daughter and I went over to feed her cats. I was standing in the kitchen counting the number of cans of cat food when I heard music, people talking and laughing, and glasses clinking. I figured one of their kids had left a radio on before leaving for vacation, so I decided to run upstairs and turn it off. Now, the kids' bedrooms were located upstairs, just off the kitchen, in a setup that was sort of like an attic. Very cute and cozy by day, but creepy and ghostly by night. Her kids often said that at night it would sound like someone was moving furniture. This was chalked up to active imaginations. The sun was setting as I opened the door to the stairwell, which was bordered by walls on either side. Most old houses didn't have the open stairs planned, so you were squeezed in between two walls as you walked upstairs to their rooms. As soon as the door opened, a rush of ice-cold air came crashing down the stairs. It knocked me backwards. Then every single thing went flying off the kitchen counter like an invisible arm had swept across it. I stood there in shock and suddenly realized the noise from upstairs was gone, replaced with an eerie silence. I ran outside and sat down on the hammock in their front yard where I could see all the way into the kitchen. My daughter was standing there, around 9 years old at the time, and I heard her saying, "No, you get out." The hair stood up on my arms and I started yelling for her to get out of that house, now. My daughter, being the stubborn soul she is, refused. She said she had to finish feeding the cats. She continued her back and forth discussion with someone, saying things like, "Well, you don't live here anymore, my aunt does. And you're the one that's dead, not me. Stop bossing me around." She had zero fear. She also no longer has any memory of this event. Several months later, while everyone was away, the house caught fire and was so damaged that it later had to be destroyed. Guess where the fire originated? In the stairwell wall.
Full disclosure, I believe in ghosts. There's some things I've seen that I just can't explain. One night, I was out with my buddy, Ryan. I'll admit, I may or may not have had a decent amount of beers in me. But my buddy, he hadn't been drinking. And he saw it too. We were out on Zimmerman Road, which is just off of Barlow. You drive down Zimmerman far enough and it turns into Oglesby. There's like a lady in a white dress that people say walks around in a field out there. That night, we're just driving by. I glanced out the window, and that's when I saw it. A flash of white. A woman's figure, pale in the moonlight. We all saw it. Me, Ryan, and our other friend, Matt, who was in the back seat with me. Ryan thought it was weird enough to stop and turn the car around, but there was nothing there. We found out later that a lot of these older country roads have little cemeteries hidden all over the place. From the pioneer days, I guess. There's one on Gribble Road, not far from when we saw her.
I think it was like my freshman year, and like I think I was one of the only like freshmen on tech, and I was teching for a middle school show. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to, like, mess things up. So they're like, okay, we're going to put you on spotlights because that's, like, one of the easiest jobs, you know. And they're like, oh, we need, like, another spotlight person. So I had my friend Kelly help me. And she was like, hasn't, like, been in, like, a whole lot of, like, productions and stuff like that. But she was like, heck yeah, like, let's, you know, spotlights. So we were doing, like, ooh, I think it was, like, dress rehearsal-ish, you know. And, like, when you're up there, there's, like, no one else up there. Like, you're just, like, in this little, like, you know, thing on one side. And then there's, like, so, like, when you go, like, up into, like, the catwalks and stuff like that, there's, like, a spotlight. And then you walk a little further and there's, like, a little, like, room where you have, like, a bunch of buttons and stuff like that that I don't know what they do. I kind of know what the lighting board does, but, like, I would need help. And then, like, there's, like, a door and, like, the room and then another door. And then there's, like, the other spotlight. And it's, like, really cold up there. but anyway, so we were in, like, a dress rehearsal, I think. And we have, like, these little, like, headsets, you know. And Kelly didn't, like, know, like, a whole lot of the people, like, that were, like, running, like, the middle school. So, like, we had our phones. And, like, if she, like, needed something, she wouldn't, like, call on a headset. She would, like, just text me. And then, like, we, like, were breaking for, like, the second act or something like that. And she was like, I hear, like, footsteps, like, up, like, on the thing. And I was like, oh, that's, like, kind of weird. Like, maybe it's, like, the theater ghost. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, there's, like, a theater ghost, you know? Like, you know, he's Brad, you know, love him. And she was like, oh, okay, like, dope. And then, like, we were doing, like, more, like, rehearsals and stuff like that. And then I started hearing footsteps, like, up in the catwalks. And it's just, like, spooky. And then, like, it's really cold, too. So, like, sometimes it'll be, like, a little, like, chill, you know, or, like, a little, like, gust of wind. And, like, there's no one else up there with you. And it's wild.
Growing up, one of my best friends, Colton, lived in this old farmhouse on Central Point Road. It's not there anymore. It burned down. But it was built in the 1800s. They had this old cattle barn on the property that was just as old as the house. Colton always told us, whenever we went out there, "My house is haunted, and that barn is haunted." Especially when we were younger. We all thought he was crazy. Like, he was just trying to scare us. But throughout the years, every one of us in our group of friends had at least one experience there, seeing people that weren't there, and crazy stuff like that. This one night in particular, we were all out by the field down by Township Road, probably half a mile from the house. I think we were in eighth grade. We were all hanging out, just doing teenager stuff. When we started walking back, we saw something really strange going on at the house. The lights in every window were flickering on and off, all over the house. We thought it was a Colton's brother, Jay, and his friends were just messing with us. But then we saw Jay's Mustang was in the driveway. There weren't any cars there, and from where we'd been in the field, we would have seen if anyone had pulled in. The lights shut off at once, and we were close enough to see the windows on the front of the house. In the second story window, very clearly, the silhouette of a person standing there. Colton saw first. He said, "Hey guys, do you see that? Looks like someone's there standing in my bedroom." We were like, "That's weird, but it might be Jay. Someone must have dropped him off or something." That's when the lights started going all crazy again. Another time, me and my buddy Tim were in the hallway upstairs, waiting for Colton, who was out in the detached garage doing laundry. We were on the phone talking to these girls we had met. Someone, we assumed it was Colton, came up the stairs, walked by us and went into his room without saying anything. Tim followed him in, then came back and said, "Hey, didn't you see Colton walk by just now?" I said, "Yeah, he walked right by us." Tim shrugged. "He's not there." We went to the bedroom, looked in the closet under the bed, thinking he was messing with us. There was no one there. A few minutes later, Colton showed up at the door. We said, "Dude, I think we just saw your ghost." And he laughed and said, "Yeah, I bet you did." One night, we were all sleeping in the backyard between the house and the barn with this new friend, Bo, who moved here from Washington. He didn't believe that the place was haunted, so we dared him to go into the barn, up into the hayloft. He did it. We could see him in the window of the hayloft, waving at us. Then he came out the doors, but at the same time, there was still someone standing up there, walking around. We asked him if he saw anyone in the hayloft. He said, "I never made it to the hayloft. I couldn't figure out how to climb up."
That concludes our Halloween special. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out our regular program, which includes the latest local news, happenings, and interesting conversations in and around Camby. You can listen free anytime on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app, or even on our website at show.cambynowpod.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Special thanks to our guest voices, Jessica Beaver, John Edelkemp, Ayatoro Eidinger, Josiah Keane, Matthew Lennon, Susan Nash, Aiden Rockwood, Jonah Sheehy, and thank you to all the residents who contributed their stories. Stay safe out there, travelers. Oh, and happy Halloween.
We all turned to look, and I saw what appeared to be a man in a buck scoot.
A buck scoot, okay.
This is a Native American tradition where you burn dried white sage while walking all through the home.
Try that again.
Ready? You drive down Zimmerman far enough and it turkles. Oh dear.
It turkles.
No problem.
End scene.
Okay, end right. Scene.
This is a Native American tradition. I have no clue what I said.
Yeah.
Trishan. This is a...
You know, one of those Trishans.
We all turned to look, and I saw what appeared to be a man in a buck suit. Buckskin suit.
You're gonna get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you and Jessica thought you saw him, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like a little kid.
No, we thought we, like, heard something, and then it was, like, someone in the lobby. Like,
but then you were like, it's the ghost.
It's the ghost.
But it was just...
Yeah, it was just someone.
Kid.
Yeah, it was just some kid.
Okay. Poor kid.
Yeah. I think, like, his name was Zach, and we're like, oh, the theater ghost's name is now Zach.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. I would... If I saw a man in a buck scoot, I'd be out of there. Big into Trishans out there.
Your spooky cats in that joint. Who loves you, Pugsley? Hey, thing, slap me five, baby. Hey, Lurch, put Sammy down. He came with me. Tish, you spoke French again.